And my good friend Secretary Robe and Mr. Wong and Han, our good friend Peng, good to see you again. All our friends and new friends from Hangzhou and Zhejiang province. We, in our state of Indiana, we are called Hoosiers. No one knows why. It's a mystery of history. But we Hoosiers believe ourselves to be very fortunate people for many reasons. And for the last year or two, we have added to that list of reasons our growing relationship with the wonderful nation of China, and in particular with the dynamic place of Zhejiang province. More than two decades ago, a very far-sighted, visionary predecessor of mine as governor of our state came to China and, while here, established a formal relationship, a partnership with Zhejiang province. That relationship, for too long, lay somewhat quiet, lay somewhat dormant. But in the last year or two, it has become alive and vibrant and active in a way that is very important to our state and we hope can be very, very productive and important for Zhejiang and its businesses and its people. I have come to have, and I know that an increasing number of my fellow citizens have, an enormous admiration for the people of China and for the economic and social miracles that you are working in this country. And it is an inspiration for those of us who are lucky enough to come here and witness it firsthand. And we hope to be effective ambassadors each time we return in telling the story of China and this part of China to our fellow citizens who haven't yet had that privilege. We're grateful this morning to our by now very good friends, Governor Liu, Party Secretary Zhao, and all their colleagues who have been so gracious to us on our trips here and so helpful in assembling such an impressive and illustrious group of businesses, which we are so glad for the chance to meet with today. Let me just say that not just as a Hoosier, but as an American, that I see an enormously important mutual relationship between our two countries, probably the most important relationship in the world today. We have a stake in the continued growth and success of China. And I believe it's obvious that the people and the businesses of China have an equally great stake in the strength and the growth, recovery of the United States and its economy. And so, in a small way, we Hoosiers, we people of Indiana, hope to participate and maybe lead in the building, strengthening of this all-important relationship. Let me spend the next few moments telling you a little more about us, about Indiana, and particularly about Indiana as an excellent place to do business and to prosper. Our state will soon be, in 6 years, will be 200 years old. In American terms, this is a long history. I know in Chinese terms, this is a very short time. But we already, in just a short 200 years, have a proud history of contributing to our nation, and especially economically. Indiana is centrally located and has always been. We have always been a transportation route as our nation grew from east to west, and have always been a crossroads. In fact, at this point in our history, our slogan, our nickname is the Crossroads of America. We were, from our very first days, one of the strongest agricultural states in our country, and that remains true today, as I will show you in a few moments. And then as the industrial era began, it began in our state as much as anywhere. Indiana was the birthplace, for instance, of the automobile industry. At over 100 of the earliest companies, those who invented automotive transportation, did so in Indiana. It is an accident of history that that industry consolidated one state to our north in the state of Michigan, where Detroit is. But even though the largest companies were one state away, Indiana has remained, and in fact has grown in recent years, as an automotive capital. And we are accustomed to making the finest products in the world of the highest quality and technology. Indiana today is known, and increasingly known in our country, as the best place possible to do business. That is not an accident. We've worked hard on this, and we have made every effort to build the best possible climate for great companies of whatever sector to come and to risk their money and to have the best chance possible to recover it, and with it some margin, some profit, something left over for the next round of growth. So with your permission, let me just show you a little bit about the Indiana of today. As I do, I hope convey to you, to our Chinese guests, how enormously excited and welcoming we would be if we were to be so fortunate as to fit into your growth plans. There was supposed to be a... Yeah. First, just to illustrate how open Indiana is, how enthusiastic we are about receiving investment from the world. We are number one in America relative to population in foreign direct investment. About 1 in 20 of our workers works directly for a company from somewhere else on the globe. And in the last year, we are thrilled and excited to see a new set of partnerships beginning to grow, and that is with companies from China and specifically from our partner state, our sister state of Zhejiang province. These are developments of just the last few months, including the fact that we have opened an office here specifically because of the growing number of relationships and possible relationships that we see here in Zhejiang, and specific business deals and investments have begun to happen. I know that I will need to modernize, I will need to update this slide very soon, because there are a number of other businesses actively exploring Indiana partnerships and sites right now. I could show you many slides on this subject. The term, I apologize that someone has used our slang term sandbox. A sandbox is something that the children play in America, but the idea is here that we have sought to build the best and most attractive overall environment for economic growth and successful investment anywhere. We are building infrastructure to take advantage at record rates, building it to take advantage of the great location that we have. We have taken down the barriers in areas like telecommunications so that investment and growth can occur more swiftly in our state than anywhere else. And we have encouraged invention For instance, the highest R&D tax credits in our country, and by exempting the income from patents and the products that come from them. We think it is showing some results. Even as the American economy continues to struggle, Indiana has added jobs at the fastest rate in America through the first several months of this year. The national average on the far right, Indiana on the far left, we've been growing at more than three times the national rate, and the states in between are the states closest to us. And just to illustrate that in our part of the country, our performance has been by far the strongest. Here, too, I could show many such slides, but I'll subject you to only one. Each time anyone, any magazine, any association, any university attempts to assess and determine which states are the best for business, Indiana comes to the top of the list. And in terms of the businesses in which many of you are involved, specifically manufacturing, we are the only state in what has been the manufacturing belt of America, across the middle of the country, across the northern part of the country, the only state that makes these lists today. Very quickly, I will tell you that our governmental financial picture is as strong as our private sector one. In the years to the right on this slide, we have strengthened our finances so that we are now enjoy some reserves. We have brought down the debt of the state by 40% in the last few years, while many other states and, of course, our federal government have been adding debt. Debt per capita would now find us in the top 10, that is the best 10 in the country. When our credit is rated, we now have, for the first time in our history, have come to the highest possible credit rating. The point of all this is that today's low taxes in Indiana, which are one of the reasons that we are seen as a great place for business, are going to stay low. We are in strong shape. We are managing the finances of the state in a way that will protect both our workers and individuals, our families, but also our businesses against increases in taxation or other costs of government that would change the terms of business. When I'm done with this brief overview, this brief summary, we will be inviting you to break into four groups. The Indiana economy is very diverse, and we could have chosen or could have added other categories, but from what we've learned of Zhejiang and from the recent trends in our state, we identified these four as areas of special opportunity. So the breakout sessions which will follow will invite you to join either our life sciences, our energy, particularly alternative energy, our automotive or vehicles group, and our group that deals with agriculture and agribusinesses. Let me spend just a moment or two on each of those by way of introduction. As the Economist magazine, perhaps familiar to many of you, wrote a few months ago, every state in America wants to be a center for life sciences, but Indiana really is one. The best academic study of this subject by the Battelle Institute found Indiana to be in the top four or five centers today. And it's natural enough. We have long been home to great companies in the life sciences like Roche, Pfizer, and Eli Lilly, the company I was lucky enough to serve for 11 years, was born and grew up and is headquartered in our state. We also are proudly the home of the largest medical school and medical center in the United States, well represented in the delegation that came with us, and the home to Purdue University, which is a world-renowned capital in the life sciences, particularly plant and animal sciences, The most recent Nobel Prize winner in chemistry comes from Purdue. Two of the last three World Food Prize winners, often referred to as the Nobel Prize of Agriculture, came from Purdue. One aspect of the life sciences in which we are especially strong is orthopedics and orthopedic devices. So the artificial replacement, hips and shoulders, knees, joints, devices for the improvement of cardiovascular or heart activity, the stents for the arteries, for instance, are built in Indiana at a rate unmatched by any place in the world. In fact, the value added by Indiana companies is twice that of the rest of the world put together. Many of these devices were first invented literally by Indiana engineers 20 and 30 years ago, and we remain the world capital of their manufacture and their constant improvement. As a share of our economy, advanced manufacturing is the largest in America. And even as we have diversified into areas like the life sciences, our manufacturing sector remains so strong and so productive that it has continued to grow and remain our biggest single contributor of value. As noted in the second section here, we have risen four places from number six to number two in automotive and auto component production over the last few years. And the productivity of our workers has been measured as the best anywhere in our part of America. The combination of low overall costs of doing business and high quality workers, we believe, is what sets us apart most in this area. These are the companies and some of the vehicles that are now assembled in our state. And this speaks not only to the importance and the capacity of our workers in our state to produce the finest automotive products, but also to our attractiveness and our receptiveness, our welcoming attitude toward foreign investment. We're the only state in America that is home to four Japanese assembly plants. We're the only state that is home to three different companies, Toyota, Honda, and Subaru. And we're the only state in which Toyota has located two assembly plants. We are the home of GM's light truck assembly, which has in many cases been their largest selling and most profitable business line. The Honda Civic and the Toyota Camry, which each at different times have been the number one selling car in America, are assembled in our state. Naturally enough, then, we are perhaps America's number one concentration of automotive supply companies, something approaching 400 different companies now of all kinds. There's plenty of room for more. As our automotive assembly presence grows, so too do we expect our automotive supply network to grow. And we now foresee the day when excellent Chinese companies will join those from other nations who have come to us in the last 20 or 25 years. In the automotive area, we are especially proud to share with China, one of the great companies of the world, Cummins Engine Company, we believe the finest producer of diesel engines and related products anywhere. Cummins has four plants now in China, a long history here, growing very fast, one of those plants I know in this province. Switching to energy and alternative energy, many ways to illustrate the growth of this sector in our state, but Indiana has been ranked second for the last 3 years in the growth of wind power capacity, and quite naturally, companies that produce equipment or service equipment in this area are coming to us as well. We have several wind farms, well over 1,000 windmills, and well over 1,000 megawatts of capacity already and growing every day. We recently were chosen by America's largest solar panel manufacturer as their site for their new enormous plant. And stemming from our long, long history as the electronics center for the so-called Detroit 3, we believe Indiana will lead the electric car era in our country. We are extraordinarily proud of a younger company called Enerdell, whose leader is with us on this trip, which is producing the lithium-ion battery for the first all-electric car to enter the American market. That car will be, which is pictured here, will be assembled in our state by the end of this year. And as further evidence or witness to the growing relationship between Indiana and Zhejiang, following last year's trip, a letter of intent has been written between Enerdell and the great Wansheng Company, auto parts company here locally. Our long history in agriculture continues, and we are a national leader in many, many commodities now. And in particular, in soybeans and corn, these are growing areas in our state, as is pork production. And agribusinesses find Indiana a logical place to locate for that reason. Our plan to double pork production over 10 years is on track now in year 6. We also consider our hardwoods, which are the finest in America. The southern part of our state is densely forested, covered by some of the finest hardwood forests anywhere. We've always been a capital of furniture manufacturer and are continuing that trend, and we're delighted, as you may have read a few slides back, to welcome a Chinese furniture company to our state. We believe that is just the first of many. As I said, our agricultural strength has led some of the world's great companies to be with us, including Nestle, the number one food company in the world, Mitsubishi, among others. Not directly part of these four clusters, but closely related to each, we also are seeing an explosive growth in information technology in our state. New companies growing at exponential, at incredibly rapid rates. The leader of one of those companies, America's, and therefore I suppose the world's, leader right now in email marketing to help businesses and other organizations strengthen relationships with their customers, grow sales with their customers. It's called Exact Target, and its leader is with us on the group also. One reason for our growth in information technology and all these areas, really, is the blessing Indiana enjoys as home to some of the great universities of America. I've already mentioned Indiana University and Purdue University, each of which, by the way, is now educating thousands of Chinese students. But also the world-famous Notre Dame, which is increasing its research activities dramatically in recent years. We have 11 schools of engineering in the state of Indiana right now. Any business that were to come here from Zhejiang and would need a flow of excellent talent and engineering, there's no place in America where more would be available at close hand. And let me conclude by returning to my first point. Indiana is still the crossroads of America. It is still located in an ideal fashion, particularly for those who want to manufacture and distribute goods. 80% of the U.S. population, 80% of U.S. consumers, can be reached in a one-day truck drive. The combination of our location and an unmatched amount and network of particularly highway but also rail infrastructure is it makes us a natural home for logistics and distribution and of course of the original manufacturer of these products. I talked about our network of transportation. The interstate highways, the largest highways that stretch in some cases from one end of our country to another, meet in Indianapolis as our capital city in a way that is not equaled anywhere else in the country. 8 different interstate connections come together there. And so from almost any place in Indiana, there is ready access to almost any customer or business partner with whom you may be dealing. Again, we have, naturally enough, given our location, an extensive rail network, and something you might not find as obvious, on our southern border, which is the Ohio River, one of the great rivers of our country, and on our northern border, which is Lake Michigan, one of the great freshwater lakes between the U.S. and Canada, we have ports. We have the largest port capacity of any state not on one of the two oceans. So, let me sum up by saying that the Indiana of today, we believe, combines the best of its past with a promising array of opportunities for a better future. We are, we believe, the best environment for business anywhere in the United States. We believe that the combination of low costs, which we work on lowering all the time, high quality workers and a tradition of high quality products, and unsurpassed convenience and access to customers and suppliers and other business partners ought to make us a good candidate for companies from China or anywhere. Coupled with this is an open-armed embrace of the world and an eagerness, not merely an acceptance or a receptivity, but an enthusiasm to grow partnerships and to build ties for mutual support and mutual benefit. I want to close by saying that as much as we are excited about the businesses we've come to know in China and here in Zhejiang, and as proud as we are of the special relationship that now exists between our state and this province, we never suggest that any business come to Indiana for sentimental reasons, for reasons of the heart. We believe it is our job to make this the smartest business decision, the smartest business location, with the most potential, the most promise for great success. And then our job, when a company from China or anywhere should choose Indiana, then our job to do all we can to make sure that that success is maximized, surpasses the expectation of the people who came to us. So we thank you very, very much for your time and attention this morning. We thank you for this chance to say a little bit about the state of which we're so proud, and say a little bit more about your state, your province, that we have come to admire and to love. Thank you very much.